You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's August 26th, and it's Tuesday, and we're talking about undecided voters today. Millions of voters still don't know who they're going to choose, and so we want to give them some advice. How do you make those tough decisions? How should they? Give us some decision-making wisdom at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. And also today, we're trying to catch scientific study maybe in the act, taking a look at a growing trend of research into how the brain works and the tools that scientists use to study it. The use of brain scanning technology has been growing as a tool to decode the inner workings of the mind, but a number of growing scientists fear that the simplistic media hype is dramatically overstating findings, leading to major misunderstandings. Scientists caution that one of those advancements, the functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI technology, may provide a window into the brain, but it in no way provides concrete evidence about how the brain works. Jonah Lehrer joins us to talk about the brain scan backlash in the scientific community. He is the author of Proust Was a Neuroscientist. He's a science writer and the Takeaway science correspondent. Good morning, Jonah.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
So what kind of reports are scientists talking about that overplay exactly the latest developments?
Well, there are lots of them. Brain scanning technology is incredibly popular. There are about 8 brain scanning papers published every day. So some of this research is great, and a lot of it isn't so great. A lot of it relies on these very oversimplified assumptions about how the brain works.
Well, let's just talk about the basics. What is an fMRI?
Well, it's a huge machine. It takes up typically about a full room, and a patient is put into a small space. It's often described like a noisy coffin. And then they're told by the scientist to do the experimental task, and it can be looking at a picture or making a decision. And while they're doing this experimental task, the machine is monitoring blood flow in their brain, trying to detect the slightly different magnetic properties of blood with and without oxygen. And the basic assumption here is that increased brain activity requires increased blood flow. So changes in blood are used as a proxy to measure changes in neural activity. The problem, of course, is that that's an indirect measure. You don't think in blood. You think in bursts of electricity and neurotransmitter. And so this means that while fMRI is very good at measuring certain types of brain activity, it's very bad in measuring other types of brain activity. And so this technology that seems like a window into the soul, it seems like the black box of the brain has finally been broken open, it's actually not a window. Or if it is a window, the glass is very, very dirty.
Very dirty. I think we get that analogy. let me say that I've seen reports saying that scientists can potentially take an fMRI with all the detail that it provides and then tell us if an individual is going to, say, commit a crime. And clearly something like that would have serious potential consequences for public policy.
Yeah, it's not just committing a crime. It's can you tell if someone is lying? There are lots of reports about how this technology can make lots of predictions about what people will do in the future or what they're thinking right now, you know, as if it can decode your soul. And while some of these experiments do have real validity to them, I think some of them are also very oversimplified. And I think one of the big misunderstandings about how this technology works is that it's not good at detecting neural connections. So when you try to localize very complex thoughts, like someone's violent tendencies or how they feel about their mother or Barack Obama, chances are many different brain regions all across the cortex are being activated. And so when you just try to reduce that complex activity to one specific brain region to say, here's the bit of cortex that's responsible for how you feel about Barack Obama, you're often going to get a very misleading answer.
So it's fair to say that advancements have been made in understanding the brain, but there's still so much more to truly understand in terms of specifics.
Absolutely. You know, the brain is the most complex device in the known universe. And to simply believe that here this one bit of cortex is responsible for sarcasm or some complex emotion is without a doubt an oversimplification. The problem, of course, is that this technology is very good at localizing things. So chances are no matter what question you ask it, it's going to come up with one specific brain area that seems to be more active. the important part to remember is that it's almost certain that the real story is much more complex. That this picture, which looks so simple, is actually very complicated statistics. As one science put it to me, the problem with fMRI is that the picture hides the sausage factory.
Another good one. Very quickly, last question. Backlash, this backlash in the scientific community. I mean, what does that look like and what would scientists like to see happen?
Well, there have been some very high-profile papers in big journals like Nature and Science, which have really criticized the overuse of fMRI. I think in the future what you're going to see is that scientists are using fMRI not by itself but in conjunction with other techniques so that you can kind of get past these inherent limitations in the technology.
Joan O'Lehr, I'm going to ask you to stick around for a minute.
Thanks so much.
Joan O'Lehr, author of Proust, was a neuroscientist, a science writer, and the Takeaway science correspondent is going to ride with us a little later. But right now we're going to turn to Femi Oke, who's got the latest headlines. Femi?
Hello there, Dora. Just coming up to 28 minutes past the hour. Good morning.